just completing that, am I right in saying that your father came out here as DSO himself between 50 and 55?
In 50 and 55, yes, that's right. Well, jumping ahead, we may come back. At the end of the war, he was asked whether he would be interested in joining the London office rather than going back to teaching. And he decided he would. So my parents went back to London for a couple of years. I was born in 1947. In 49, they were sent to Singapore. I don't know exactly what his role would have been there. They weren't there very long before this opening came up, perhaps when KG moved on, I suppose. Opening moved up in Gibraltar. An opening appeared in Gibraltar to be a defence security officer himself, as you said. And so they were, I think, only too pleased to come back in 1950. I think they were only supposed to be here for 3 years, tour of duty, but they managed to stay until 1955. And that was a lovely period of their lives and of mine. My sister was born in 1950 here, not long after we arrived. At the time, my mother's mother, Minnie Spencer, was still living in Jerez de la Frontera. I haven't explained about her yet. My mother's father had worked for the sherry company, Williams and Humberts, for 40 years or more, ending up as the manager of Williams and Humbert. And for that reason, my mother's family, her sisters, four sisters and a brother, they were all brought up really bilingual. They went to school in Gibraltar to begin with, either to Brimpton or the Loretto Convent School. I think my uncle might have gone to the Christian Brothers for a little while. They then used to come very regularly to go to school in England. They were living with relations, great aunts in Croydon, and they went to and fro on I don't know how many liners. So they knew Gibraltar very well. They knew lots of Gibraltarian families here. My mother, for that reason, as I said, spoke Spanish very well, with an Andalusian accent, of course. So her schooling was a bit mixed, she used to say. She went to a private girls' school in Croydon, and then she went to Greg's shorthand school, also in Croydon. And her first job in London was with Burroughs Wellcome, a pharmaceutical company. She didn't like it at all. She didn't like living in London, really. So she came back to Spain, I think, just about before the Civil War started. And during the Civil War, the family were evacuated by a naval vessel, I don't know which, possibly from Huelva or maybe from Cadiz, to Gibraltar. But I think then they took a house back in Croydon for the duration of the Civil War, except that my grandfather stayed on with Williams and Humbert throughout. So, because my mother didn't like working in London, she came back here and was sort of frittering away her time doing translations and things. And then when war broke out, she definitely wanted to join the army to follow, first of all, her brother, my uncle, Thomas Spencer, but also to follow her grandfather, another branch that I haven't talked about yet, okay, with Gibraltar links. She wanted to follow her grandfather, George Spinks, who was a major in the Royal Artillery. She wanted to follow the family tradition of joining the army. So she went back to England and joined the ATS and had a variety of different experiences in England. But in about 1943, towards the end of 43, she was called for an interview at some secret location in London, which she wouldn't tell me where it was exactly. And she was interviewed by some mysterious people who wanted to offer her some interesting work, and it would mean using her Spanish. And there was somebody there at the interview who brought her greetings from her father in Jerez. And later she discovered that that was KG, Philip Kirby Green, who was in on the interview from the DSO in Gibraltar. Yes.
All very mysterious.
Yes, but of course the chance to come back to Gibraltar with maybe other interesting things going on, she couldn't refuse that. And that was, I think when she arrived it was the autumn of 43, might be right.
And she came with two others.
They might have been here already. There were, yes, that's right. She used to say there were only four ATS on the rock. There were nurses, there were wrens, but there were only four ATS at the rock. And at the end of the war, she was very proud that she had insisted that the ATS should join the victory parade. Nobody had thought to invite them, so she led them out, because by then she was junior commander, Molly Spencer. She was the senior ATS. Okay. On the rock, and jumping about a bit, but as the senior ATS on the rock, she was often called upon by the governor, who I think by then was Mason McFarlane.
It would have been McFarlane.
Eastwood. Okay. Yes, I think it was Eastwood. She was called upon by him to, you know, make up female numbers at dinner tables and things. And she also used to say much later on that she had been asked at the end of the war whether she would stay on to work with the governor. But by then she had decided she was going to marry my father, so she said no. So that's jumping on.
Okay, that's a nice run through. Can we go skip back a bit now?
Indeed, yeah.
And pick up from the point that your father had done some basic security work for the army, and so pick up from that,
yes,
in a bit more detail, and then go back into the point of him working for the DSO.
Yes, well, everything I know about what he did in the security section and the DSO is from his history that is now available, because, well, he wouldn't have talked about it at all. I just have a few extra things added by my mother, who used to say she'd never been debriefed, so she wouldn't really talk about it. She didn't want to be interviewed when the archive was released. She didn't want to be interviewed. They offered to interview her. She didn't want to be interviewed.
But you can give an angle, because you know what he was like as a person.
Yes, yes. Well, he was... I said scouting was a great influence on him. He was a trained observer. He liked sketching, so he would make little sketches of people that he was interested in, I think. He was also interested in drama. I mentioned that. So I think he enjoyed the fact that they would sometimes go across into La Niña to hear what they could hear in the bars, or to visit potential agents, or just to pick up information. And I think, I'm not saying they went in disguise, I think they pretended to be ordinary army chaps getting
drunk. They kept a low profile.
And, you know, from the history, I know that he went and interviewed people who were making bombs or potential bombs for use on the rock, and that sometimes they would arrange to bring bombs back and then pretend to explode them somewhere, or maybe explode them but not in the right place.
Okay.
So that the people who, the German agents and indeed Germans who were across the bay with their binoculars from the hotel in Algeciras, the Reina Cristina, or from the villas all around the bay, they were watching what was going on here.